Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Join us today as we talk about kidney disease. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Simon, and you are joining both myself and my co-host, Garrett, in the studio today. We are hoping that after that introduction, you have not already gotten out of your seat and prepared to turn off this program, because this kidney disease article, it is both challenging but of some interest to a fairly broad population. It involves different kinds of technologies within the medical and life science field. And so, like other newsworthy clips, it is chock full of the kinds of language you will not find in most English learning sources. We are hoping to really advance you to a higher level of English today. Now, Garrett, when you first read this article, I saw you back in the office crying.
I was not crying.
Let's talk about
that. I was a little confused by it. We'll talk our way through it today. One thing I hope for today is that none of you listening say, I know all about this. I'm very familiar with it because I have these diseases. Hopefully, you are all very healthy.
Yeah. I mentioned in our last program that we try to aim for 8 or 9 out of 10 accuracy.
Yeah.
You know, as a rule of thumb. I mean, we're, in a lot of ways, we're a bit, you know, like a college radio program, you know?
Yeah.
It is one of our roles here at Studio Classroom, but it's, you know, in some ways, it's a passion project that we pursue with our faithful listeners. So it's good to work with you, but, you know, honestly, we are not doctors. So some of this is a bit out of our range of
everything
expertise.
I say today will be fully accurate because I will not claim to know anything.
Well, fair enough. So I like to give a rating. I usually, like I said last time, aim for 8 or 9 out of 10. Today I'm hoping for 6 out of 10 accuracy. So again, if you spot something, let us know. We don't mind. Join in the conversation with us. We see from our title of this newsworthy clip that whatever is going on here, new hope has been found for kidney disease treatment. Now, this is interesting. The addition of the word treatment there is interesting because there's not really new hope in this article for kidney disease. It's an improvement in the treatment, but not really an improvement in the outcome.
We don't want to make the disease too hopeful.
Yeah, don't be too hopeful. The lesson you really want to go into this and come out of this article with is how important your kidneys are. Take care of them. Drink water. Don't be crazy rough on your kidneys, because once they diminish in their ability to keep your blood clean and your body free of toxins, boom, they have diminished. They are not coming back. So very important to stay out of the radical treatments we're going to be talking about for as long as possible. I guess that's the real lesson. Now, we're going to do 2 readings today. I'm going to say again, if you have your magazine, you should open it up so you can join us. If you don't have your magazine, pause the program, go out and get a magazine, because that is one of the key things that keeps us on the air here available for you. We have to generate enough money to cover our costs. And so get your magazine. That's a wonderful way you can contribute to the ongoing sustainability of Advanced Radio. Well, let's get Campbell up to the mic and start out, and we'll start wading through. I will say, though, I'm hopeful that Campbell can pronounce all these things. He does a lot of research to make sure he pronounces them the right way. But with this one, it is a little technical. Be a little forgiving if we don't match the KK or the IPA you find in your dictionary. We're doing our best here. Let's go with our first reading.
New hope for kidney disease treatment. More than 4 million people worldwide have end-stage kidney disease that requires hemodialysis, a treatment in which a machine filters waste from the blood. Hemodialysis is a precursor to kidney transplant. To prepare for it, patients typically undergo surgery to connect an artery and a vein in the arm, creating an arteriovenous fistula, AVF, that allows blood to flow through the vein for treatment. However, AVF fails about 60% of the time due to vein narrowing. This is a major barrier to effective treatment. Mayo Clinic researchers found that transplanting patients' own stem cells from fat cells into the vein often helped prevent inflammation and vein narrowing. This could help millions of people with end-stage kidney disease tolerate dialysis longer, extending the time before they require a kidney transplant. That is because these adult stem cells, called mesenchymal stem cells, secrete healing growth factors that appear to be effective for certain patients, according to Sanjay Misra, MD, a Mayo Clinic interventional radiologist.
All right. Thank you so much, Campbell, for your participation in the program today. Now, Garrett, it starts out by telling us that basically around the world, there are about 4 million people who have end-stage kidney disease. That doesn't mean there's 4 million people with kidney disease.
Right. It's kidney disease that has developed to a severe state, so to speak.
The end stage. Yeah. You're getting close, actually, to the end of your life as a result of this kidney failure, basically, at this point. So just briefly, to provide a little background for our listeners, kidney disease, it's caused by a number of different things. There's different ways you can damage your kidneys. But basically, what you want to do is know you have kidney disease very early in the process. So one of the keen indicators is, like, as you are aging, you really should be going for health checks once a year. I guess in Chinglish people say body check, right? But like a physical exam, a health check once a year, and you should be checking your kidneys maybe as part of that. That usually means you have to go to the bathroom in a little cup and submit it for testing. This is particularly true if you have diabetes and other things you want to sort of keep on top of your health, because if you detect that you have kidney disease early, it can keep you out of that hemodialysis we're going to talk about. It can be sort of controlled through medication and dietary changes and things like that. And that can give you a long period of time before you need the more aggressive treatments we're going to be talking about here. So, nonetheless, we're talking about this end-stage kidney disease, when someone gets to the point where their kidneys are no longer able to filter their blood. They require hemodialysis. Now, that's actually one of our words, Garrett. What do we learn hemodialysis is from our own vocabulary listing?
Right. Well, hemodialysis, I learned from looking this up, is one of a couple of different kinds of dialysis. Again, it's that treatment you go through to clean out that blood. Hemodialysis, we see, is a process of separating substances from a liquid by putting them through a kind of a membrane.
I can't remember the exact etymology of this. Hemo is the Greek word for blood.
Right.
And then dia is to open, I think, and isis is to separate.
I'll take your word
for it. So you're basically taking the blood and you're separating out the different parts of the blood. That's the idea here. Hemodialysis, it is a treatment, it says, in which a machine filters waste from the blood. And then it goes on to say it is a precursor of something. What exactly is a precursor?
Precursor is something that comes before something else.
Yeah, and in this case, kidney transplant. So what's basically happening here when you have kidney disease? Your kidneys are very important. They basically take toxins and dirty things out of your bloodstream so that you can have a healthy metabolism and be functioning properly. As your kidney disease progresses, you lose the ability to filter and clean your blood. And so when you're getting to the end stage, basically your kidneys are no longer able to clean your blood without support. And so the dialysis kind of buys you time. And then if you're lucky and you can find someone who can donate a kidney to you, presumably you can have a kidney transplant where they take a kidney from someone else and they put it in you. And then your kidney, basically, your new kidney, I guess, functions as a kidney and takes over the processing of your blood. So basically, as people are going into this phase where they need the medical mechanical support of hemodialysis, they have to prepare for it. And to prepare for it, they undergo this surgery that connects an artery and a vein in the arm, creating... You want to try this word, Garrett?
Ooh, this one's fun. An arteriovenous fistula, AVF.
It's like beautiful. Arterio means artery.
Right.
Venous...
Means vein.
Means vein. Fistula, this is kind of a... It basically means like an artificially made tunnel.
Okay.
You know, you kind of just use it really in medicine, this word. So it's a very, very specialized term. And I think throughout the rest of this article, they just call it AVF, right?
Yeah, it's
like
easier.
They just ignore the use of the actual term because it's a little too much to handle. You should take that as a signal, listeners, that you don't have to say arteriovenous fistula with any regularity to be participating in this conversation. Okay, so why do they have to do this surgery? I don't know if you have any indication about this, Garrett, but basically, blood traveling through your veins is taking the waste away from your cells. So blood traveling through your arteries is bringing oxygen and new fresh materials to your cells, and then the veins are taking it away. But the catch there is that arteries, the blood in the arteries is moving quickly and under high pressure, and the blood in the veins is kind of just wandering back towards the heart. So you want to be cleaning the blood in the veins, but it's moving too slow. Like, you know, you don't want to be constantly doing dialysis. I mean, it's rough on people anyway. They have to do it like 3 times a week or something, and it's several hours each time. But you don't want to be on the machine like 24 hours a day, right? And so by creating this fistula, they basically take an artery and feed it into a vein to increase the flow of the blood.
Okay.
So they mix the clean blood with the dirty blood to push it more quickly through the machine, if you will. So it kind of speeds up the whole process, and that's basically why they do it. However, AVF fails about 60% of the time due to vein narrowing. This is a major barrier to effective treatment. So what's that vein narrowing? Well, anytime in your body you cut something or damage something, cells are going to grow back, right? So like you see this when you have a scar, it's not quite as perfect as it was before. There's kind of extra growth or uneven growth, things like that. And that will also happen when surgeons put this AVF in you. And so the consequence of that is that the vein sometimes gets narrower. Now, remember, the point of this is to allow more blood to travel more quickly into the machine. So if it narrows, that fistula is no longer useful. So they basically, they'll do it first on one of your arms, and then I gather when that sort of narrows, or you, if you get an infection and it stops working, they switch to the other arm, then they switch to one of your legs, then they switch to the other leg. But at some point, you kind of run out of sites to be doing this dialysis. And so the whole name of the game here is you want to enable the person to receive dialysis as smoothly and efficiently and comfortably as possible for as long as possible. So that means, you know, quicker dialysis treatments. It means avoiding infections. It means longer periods of time for you to be waiting for a kidney to hopefully become available. And so the name of the game is to stretch out this process. But of course, this more efficient process, it fails about 60% of the time, which is not great odds, right? Consequently, the Mayo Clinic has this research. Now, what did they find, Garrett?
Well, they found one thing that can help reduce the chance that narrowing and inflammation, and that's using the patient's own stem cells coming from their fat cells.
Yeah. They actually, I'm told they actually get these fat cells right out of your belly. And they sort of process it.
That's what I was picturing.
And they inject it into the area around the arteriovenous fistula. Now, the reason they do this, they sort of get on to explain this here. Basically, by injecting these stem cells, they get the following results, right? It prevents inflammation and vein narrowing. So remember, that vein narrowing, it seems to happen, at least as I understand it, this is where we're getting down to that 6 out of 10 accuracy, listeners. My understanding is after the surgery, as it's healing, this is when problems can kind of start, right? So the veins can be narrowed or, you know, you can have inflammation because there's been trauma to the area, damage to the area. Inflammation, of course, is like, I mean, Garrett, you're what, in your 30s now?
Yes.
So you'll be familiar with inflammation.
Yes.
Yeah, people start taking aspirins and Tylenols and all kinds of things as they age because inflammation is the great enemy. So by minimizing those things, the inflammation and the narrowing, it helps millions of people with end-stage kidney disease tolerate dialysis longer, extending the time before they require a kidney transplant. Boom. Beautiful. So that is what the hope is here. Now, Garrett, you pronounced this word, this is the word for the stem cells here, better than I could ever hope to say it. You want to say the word one more time?
Sure. I think I would pronounce it a little differently than Campbell did. He might be right, though. To me, it looks like mesenchymal stem cells. Now, we didn't really define that earlier. Stem cells are kind of, they're very adaptable cells. They can become any type of cell, essentially.
That's right. We associate them usually when we're talking about medicine on advanced, we talk about babies having stem cells, right? Because they become different parts of the baby, basically. But they also play a role in, healing, right? And so these mesenchymal stem cells secrete healing growth factors. Oh my goodness, what is a growth factor? Any idea?
Not sure.
It's like proteins. You know, like one of the things cells do is they take in raw materials, right?
Mm-hmm.
They process it for whatever they're doing, and then they excrete or release garbage. But the garbage isn't always garbage. Sometimes the garbage is like proteins that are useful for something else or whatever. And in this case, what these cells are kind of releasing is this healing, let's call it healing juice in lay terms. Healing juice, that's the idea. Secrete means it sort of leaks out. It sort of slowly comes out, and it's a healing growth factors, actually. So there's going to be like several of them. But they're basically going to be proteins and chemicals that aid in healing. That's basically the idea. And they appear to be effective for certain patients. Now, this is according to the doctor from the Mayo Clinic, who is, it tells us he's an interventional radiologist. I have no idea why a radiologist is involved in this. What does a radiologist do?
Well, you'll see radiologists often at like a hospital. A radiologist works with different kinds of scanning technologies. That could be like an X-ray or an MRI.
Yeah, they, as far as I understand it, they're experts in interpreting those images. So they kind of diagnose what's wrong with you by looking at the different scans and things like that. Nonetheless, clearly there is a need for a radiologist to be involved in this research because, you know, this isn't just a random radiologist if they're giving an opinion on this research.
Yep, they're probably scanning some kidneys.
All right, that brings us to our second reading, which is going to begin with our stem cell word. Listeners, let's jump into that second reading now.
Mesenchymal stem cells have anti-inflammatory properties, he says. Inflammation is a significant problem because it's a hallmark of a lot of medical problems. Heart disease, vascular disease, hypertension, high cholesterol, and cancer. They are all driven by inflammation. In a study, 21 participants received AVFs as part of a phase 1 clinical trial. 11 participants were injected with their own fat-derived mesenchymal stem cells before AVF surgery. 10 were part of the control group. The AVFs healed faster and were more durable in most of those who received the stem cells. However, not everyone responded to them. We were surprised by these differences in response to the mesenchymal stem cells. This spurred us to delve further into our research and include preclinical models and RNA sequencing technology, says lead author Srinivasulu Kalari, PhD. The researchers identified specific anti-inflammatory gene factors in those who responded well to the stem cells. They say these genetic biomarkers could help predict which patients are most likely to benefit from this stem cell application and help inform personalized treatment options.
All All right. So as part of this healing juice that's being released by these stem cells, we have anti-inflammatory properties, meaning that juice, it helps reduce inflammation. I don't know if we defined what inflammation was. Obviously, most of our listeners are going to be old enough to be aware of what inflammation is. That's an age joke, listeners, but also their English will be good enough for it. But what is inflammation?
To my understanding, basically, it's just your body is responding to something, maybe something it thinks is bad, but that response is also kind of harmful to you, could be causing pain or some other issues.
Yeah, I tend to think of it like the simple term for it is just swelling.
Sure.
You know, like when you get an injury and then it swells up, it gets bigger. Kind of the injury area gets kind of full of juice, you know, from your body. I'm using juice a lot today, but yeah, that's kind of inflammation. And of course, anti-inflammation then will reduce that swelling. If you have an area of your body that's all swollen up, it's going to be putting a lot of pressure on like your nerves and stuff. That's why it hurts. But it can also kind of cut off the flow of blood to the area or things like that. And so, you know, the classic situation where you put ice on it and then it gets smaller. Putting ice on it is an anti-inflammatory thing. So it goes on to say inflammation is a significant problem, not only when you've injured yourself, but it says here it's a hallmark of a lot of medical problems. Heart disease, vascular disease. Vascular disease is disease that's related to your vascules? No.
The vascular system, just relating to things in your body that carry different fluids.
Yeah. I think the main component of that is probably like arteries and blood.
Yeah.
Arteries and veins. That's right. Thank you. Hypertension, which is high blood pressure, basically. High cholesterol and cancer. So these are all driven by inflammation. So you want to reduce these inflammations. It goes on to say in a study, 21 participants. Now here, when they're talking about a study, this is the study where they're using those fat stem cells to help people with this AVF problem so they can receive hemodialysis for longer. So this is specifically the study that we are talking about today. There were 21 participants who received AVF as part of a phase one clinical trial. That phase one, we don't have to get into the specifics of it, but when you're sort of trying a new drug or developing a new technique, it goes through various stages of development. This is one of those phases. 11 participants were injected with their own fat-derived mesenchymal stem cells before the AVF surgery. 10 were part of the control group. So, Garrett, why didn't 10 get this injection?
Well, to see the difference in their body's response as opposed to the people that did get that.
So the 10 basically got the normal surgery without the stem cells.
Right.
And then the 11 got the stem cells. It's like roughly the same number just to see how they compare or whatever there. The result, of course, was the AVFs healed faster and were more durable in most of those who received stem cells. However, not everyone responded to them. So, you know, I don't know that we get a specific number here, but maybe like 8 out of the 11 or 9 out of the 11 did well, but a couple didn't. So that raises questions, right? Like,
right.
How do you get it to work for the ones who it didn't work for?
That's the complicated thing with medical treatment, right? There's no one answer to things because everyone's body responds differently.
Yeah. And that's what they jump into next. They were surprised by these differences in response to the stem cells. So they're not surprised here that the stem cells helped. They're surprised that some people were not helped when they got the stem cells, the response to the stem cells, basically. This spurred us to delve further into our research, including preclinical models and RNA sequencing technology. So they're basically looking to see if there are genetic differences between the people who it helped and the people who it didn't help.
Right. RNA, of course, similar to DNA, just kind of like half of DNA.
Yeah. The RNA here, RNA frequently is used to sort of produce things like those healing factors. So they're going to be looking at the specific genetic material within the cells to see how it's reacting. It tells us in our last paragraph there that researchers identified specific anti-inflammatory gene factors in those who responded well. So it is sort of a genetic thing that leads people to respond well to the stem cells. They say these genetic biomarkers could help predict which patients are most likely to benefit from this stem cell application and help inform personalized treatment options. So biomarkers here basically means it's like something they can test easily that indicates whether a further or downstream later treatment is going to work well or not. That's what they're looking for. So basically what they would be doing here is if a person had kidney disease, they would want to check to see which type of treatment you will respond best to based on your personal, you know, your individual body. That way you don't have to undergo procedures and pay for things that are not going to help you at all. They can sort of pick the patients. At some point, they may be able to find alternative treatments for you, that kind of thing. So that's basically what they're looking at this point. Well, Garrett, what do you think? Hopeful.
Yeah, good news for people with end-stage kidney disease.
Yeah, these are, important technologies. Helping us extend our quality of life.
Always a good thing.
Always a good thing. Unfortunately, listeners, we are out of time for newsworthy clips today, but tomorrow we'll be back with one more newsworthy clip. Until then, I'm Simon.
I'm Garrett.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.